We are in John 21 this morning. I go a-fishing. I hope you remember that little sentence, that little phrase before we're done this morning. Other translations of the scriptures put it, I go to fish, or I am going fishing. But I think the King James has got it. I just like how it's phrased. I go a-fishing. There's something wrong with that phrase, and that's the point of the message this morning. There's something that's just not right about I go a-fishing. Now, it's okay to go fishing. A lot of people like to go fishing. But for the person who said it, the person who said it in the Bible, there's just something out of place. I go a-fishing. If you let me say this, I only say it once. I go fishing, I think there's something fishy about it. I'll only say that one. I won't say that again. I think there's something fishy about it. Oh, I said it twice. I believe it is a turn in the wrong direction. I believe it's a step in the wrong way for a man called Peter. For a man called Peter some 2,000 years ago. Let's pray before we get any further. Lord, we come before you and help us. This is your holy word. Help us to understand it. Lord, whenever I get in the way, I pray that you and your truth would shine. And Lord God, we just pray that you would be magnified here today in all that is said. Oh Lord, may we live for you until you return, until we go to you. We're looking forward to being with you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. I go a-fishing. I believe Peter is losing his way. John 21 verse 1. John 21 and verse 1, if you will. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Why was Peter going fishing? If I had one thing to say to Peter as he stood on that shore before he put his first foot in that boat, I would have said this: Peter, God has called you to full-time ministry. What are you doing? Would you hold your hand in John 21? Would you look at Matthew chapter 4? Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus called Peter to full-time ministry. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Matthew 4, 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter had forsaken his profession. He had followed Jesus. Peter had forsaken the career and the profession of fishing for a living to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. Peter was no longer going to fish for fish. He was going to bring people to the Lord. That was his mission in life. That was his career. That was what God wanted him to do. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, had said to Peter, and you're going to recognize this verse. Jesus said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Peter, I'm starting something brand new. I'm starting something brand new. It's called the church. And it is visible through local churches like Maranatha. I'm starting something brand new. And you will take Peter, you will take the principles and the truth that I give you, and the other disciples will lay the foundation in truth for this brand new thing called the church. Peter was to tend to the calling of God on his life. Christ had said it in different ways. Follow me. Peter, thou art the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. Go back to John 21, if you will. John 21. By this time, by John 21, Peter had seen the resurrected Jesus. This is the third time that Peter had seen the resurrected Jesus. He had seen him three times. Two times in the upper room, and according to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 5, Peter and Jesus had seen each other privately. So this is the fourth time for Peter that Peter had seen Jesus. The first time Peter sees Jesus in the upper room, remember the disciples were locked for fear of the Jews. On that first day, on resurrection day, you're in John 21. Would you turn back one chapter to John 20? John 20, on that first day of resurrection, look what Jesus says to Peter and the others. Then said Jesus to them, he appears in that upper room. The door is locked and he appears to them. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's go on a mission. That is, you are in the ministry. That you are in the work of the Lord. And right before the cross, on the night of Jesus' crucifixion, some of the last words of Jesus to the disciples and to Peter. Don't turn there, just listen. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, it is so true. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. He said that to Peter and the other apostles. I don't think that meant I go a fishing for fish out on the Sea of Galilee. Now listen to all the evidence together. Jesus had called Peter from his profession of being a fisherman. He called him into the ministry. Jesus had said to Peter, you're going to be instrumental in building this new thing called the church. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, said to Peter, so send I you. And on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus had said to Peter, in essence, I've done miracles. I've had people that were blind to see again. Their hands that were crippled are stretched out again. But you'll do greater things. You'll do greater things than that. You'll do even with my power and my truth. How does I go a fishing fit with all of that? How does picking up fishing equipment, getting into a fishing boat, going out into the Sea of Galilee, how does that fit with I go a fishing? I go a fishing. Peter, where are you going? What are you thinking? What's going on? Now, some people say this. Peter was just trying to pay the bills. You know, this fishing that we're talking about is not putting a worm on the end of a hook and sitting on a rock on a nice sunny day and just relaxing. This is professional fishing gear in a boat, going out, bringing in a lot of fish for money to pay bills. And I understand that. Some say Peter was just trying to pay the bills. He was a fisherman. Maybe he had the electric bill coming up or something. He had to pay the bills. There's nothing wrong with making a living. I do understand that. Some say Peter was in Galilee because he was supposed to be there. Remember at the tomb, the women received a message from the angel that said, he is not here, he is risen. Remember what they said? The women at the tomb, he goeth before you into Galilee, there you shall see him. They were supposed to go to Galilee. They were supposed to go there to receive a message. So they're there. They're at Galilee. They're on the Sea of Galilee. But why? My question. Why go back fishing? Why go back to that career? I go fishing. I believe Peter is losing his way. And I believe Peter is losing his way because of something called context. Context is the pieces before and the pieces after. And in this case, it's the pieces after. There's more than just I go fishing. There's more to the story. I go fishing, and look what happens in John 21, verse 3. Look at John 21 and verse 3. They went fishing, all right. And it says in John 21 and verse 3, at the end of the verse, that night they caught nothing. Does it mean something? I mean, does it mean something that it didn't work? That they didn't get any fish that night? Something bigger for me is found later in John 21. It's called the reinstatement of Peter. Anybody that studies the resurrection appearances of Jesus, this is a classic passage of the reinstatement of Peter. Take a look at it just briefly. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he says it again in verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Son, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says it again, look at verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The famous passage, it goes back to the three denials of Peter as Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Peter had been off the path, so to speak, until John 21, where he says, yes, Lord. And he's reinstated. So I believe as he begins John 21, as we begin this chapter, I believe he's losing his way. I don't say he didn't leave the farm. He didn't leave Christianity. But I believe he's losing his way in John 21 when he says, I go a fishing. My first point today, having said all of that, our first lesson to us today on April 26, 2015, don't go fishing. I ain't getting any amens on that. Don't go fishing. Anyone been fishing yet this season? Now you're afraid to put your hand up, right? Pastor just said don't go fishing. No one's gonna put their hand up. Didn't fishing season start? This is a good way to quiet everybody down. Don't go fishing. It's great to go fishing. I'm not against fishing. I'm not against fishing. It's great to sit on a rock and put a worm on that hook or get your favorite lure out. Nice spring day. And just sit there and forget the world. And you feel the tugging of that fish on the line. And you can't think of anything else. It's great to go fishing. But remember, for Peter, this is different kind of fishing. This is a profession with professional equipment. It was a lifestyle. It was a career. It was a way of making a living. God called him away from all of that. God said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, so send I you. You're the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. Yet in John 21, he's out there. He's out there on the lake with gear. With his gear and the professional everything, and he's got the other disciples in tow. Our first lesson today is this. If God has called you to full-time ministry, whether it is pastor or youth pastor or missionary or evangelist, some even say Christian school teacher, don't let anything get in the way. Don't let anything get in the way. I've been to Bible school. Maybe sometimes you wonder if I have or not, but I have. I have been to Bible school. And by the way, if you're going into the ministry, you will end up at Bible school. we live in a technical age, and we can have things online. My kids take courses online, and I would take courses online myself. But at some point, if you feel like you're going into the ministry, you've got to go to Bible school. You've got to see the professors and the character, and you've got to be in that environment. You've got to be in that culture. And the chapels and all the things that go with Bible school. If you are going into full-time ministry, you will end up at Bible school. That's my personal opinion. I don't have a verse for it. The first year for the freshmen, those who are called or they feel they've got a call upon their lives. Sometimes they've got to leave everything behind. Sometimes they leave their car behind. Sometimes they leave a job behind. Maybe someone gave them a good job and it's like a career. They got to leave it behind. Maybe it's family, familiar surroundings. But there has to be one singular purpose if God has called you into the ministry to go to the ends of the world if God says so for His sake, for the ministry. Amen? It doesn't mean that you don't work. When I was in Bible school, I worked all kinds of different jobs. I worked at a pizza place. I worked at Sears, taking orders over the phone. I worked at a gas station, pumping gas in Scranton, PA. Did all kinds of things. And the money all went to tuition or to further that purpose for ministry that God was calling me to. I didn't worry about the kind of car I was driving. You can ask Charlene. I didn't worry about the kind of car I was driving. I didn't worry about fancy clothes. I didn't worry about the money in my pocket. There was one thing, full-time service in the kingdom of the Lord, and everything went towards to that, and nothing got in the way. Are you called? Now I'm speaking to maybe a small group, but I know that at the end of some of our messages, I've asked for a response. And I know that in past times, I've asked people with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, are you called to the ministry? And I have had people here more than one raise their hand and say, I feel God is calling me to the ministry. If you are called to the ministry of the Lord, remember this phrase, don't go fishing. Don't go fishing. Don't let anything get in the way or stop you, derail you from God's purpose on your life. God's purpose on your life. I go fishing. Look at John chapter 21, the end or the beginning where it says, I go fishing. I believe Peter was losing his way. Those that are headed to full-time ministry may at times lose their way, but I believe we can all lose our way. I believe we can all feel like we're losing our way. Everyone can feel that way. I've got two remedies. Maybe God's not calling you to ministry, but if you feel like you're losing your way, there's two things. The first thing is this. Look at the end of the story. Look at the end of the story. How many people, and this is kind of like confession time, how many people like to see how it ends? You got a big thick book, and you're saying, no way I'm getting through that book. I'm going to the last chapter, and I'm going to find out how it ends. Let's just admit it. Say amen. You like to do that. See? It's okay. A movie, a two-hour movie, you taped it. And you're sleepy and you're tired and it's time to go to bed. I'm not staying up 2 hours to find out how this movie ends. I'm going to hit fast forward. I'm going to find out what the ending is on this movie. I'm going to find out. In John 21, there is a glimpse of the end of the story. And you know what? It's a good ending. It's a good ending. We're going to have to read a little bit. John 21. Look at verse 5, starting in verse 5, if you will. Then said Jesus unto them, children, have you any meat or any fish? Have you caught any fish? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore, now they were not able to draw it in the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, he just had his underclothes on, and he did cast himself into the sea. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire. Now this is getting interesting. A fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Join me for breakfast. Join me for breakfast. I want to make it clear, this is a resurrection appearance of Jesus. This is a resurrection appearance of Jesus. The Lord who walked, now listen, the Lord who walked out of the grave, the resurrection Lord was talking to the disciples, was touching the disciples. I'll bet you, it doesn't say it here, but I'll bet you Peter run up to him. And I don't think this happened. Hello, Jesus. I bet this happened. I bet he put his arm right around Jesus. And he hugged Jesus. And I bet Jesus hugged Peter. The resurrected Jesus talked to the disciples. Ate with the disciples. Experienced real, great, personal, tangible communion with these men. Now I realize Jesus is not present with all of his glory. Go to Revelation 19. Jesus on the white horse, all the glory of Jesus, but he's still the resurrected Jesus. He shows us something. He shows us something of the resurrection body, not only for Jesus, but for you. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You get a little peek at the end of the story here in John 21. Jesus had said, now listen, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's real. Amen? That's glory. There is a real place called heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And if you know Christ as your Savior, there's a real place called heaven. Amen. There's a real place called heaven. And there is a real, tangible, touchable place of heaven. And there is a real, touchable, tangible resurrection body. Jesus dined with these men, talked with these men, probably put his arms around these men. That's a little bit of the end of the story. It is the resurrection. Heaven is not some smoky place where we sit on a cloud and play a harp. Take me all eternity to learn anyway, to play a harp. But that's not exactly all that it is, right? Singing old hymns and just sitting on that cloud drifting for all eternity. Heaven is a real place with real people, real tangible place with real tangible resurrection bodies. Someone said this, what shall we do in heaven? Not lounge around, but worship, work, think, communicate, enjoy activity, beauty, people, and God. Those who have gone on before us who know Jesus as Savior, you will recognize them. You will see them. You will say their name and they will say your name. You will hold them someday. You will talk to them. You might even have breakfast. Maybe a breakfast of fish. Who knows? But that is someday in those resurrection bodies. 1 Thessalonians tells us, listen to this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Amen.
Amen.
Comfort one another with these words. The end of the story. If you feel like you're losing your way, if you feel like you're wobbly, go to the end of the story. Hope in Christ. Hope in the resurrection. Hope in the new life. And it gives you hope for this life, for whatever you're going through in this life. If you feel like you're losing your way, go to the end of the story. Verse 12 says, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. The resurrected Jesus said, come and dine and be with me. And communicate in fellowship with me. Here's one other thing that you need to know. If you feel like you're losing your way, maybe you just need to look at the story right now. Don't go to the end. Don't go to the end of the book. Just look at the story right now. Just a couple more verses. Look at verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. Then said Jesus unto them, children, have ye any meat? Do you have any fish? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Ye shall find the cast therefore. And now they're not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Jesus said, do you have any fish? Now look, Peter's a professional fisherman, right? He's got all the gear. He spent a whole lifetime doing it before Jesus called him into the ministry. No fish? Not even one? It's like a professional baseball team. They pay them millions and millions and they get shut out. Nobody even gets on base. What's going on here? It's like opening up a store and all the lights are on, merchandise is out there, employees are being paid. Not one item is rung up that day. Nothing. What is going on? Look at verse 6 again. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Ye shall find. They cast. Look what happens. And now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. And look at one more verse. Verse 11. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were, and all those fishes just jam-packed in that net. Even with all those fish, there were large fish. The net did not break. The net did not break. Now maybe you're waiting for some deep truth about 153 fish and all this catch, and there's some deep theological truth about what happened here on the Sea of Galilee. Will you allow me to simply say this? With God, there is blessing. Amen. Can I just say that? With God, there is blessing. With God, there is blessing. Let's say it together. With God, there is blessing. And I will add today. You don't have to go to the end of the story. I'm talking about today. They were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and the net was not broken. Now wait. Does this mean that if you believe hard enough and you got enough faith, that this coming week you're going to open up the mail and you're going to win Publishers Clearinghouse? Is it over yet? I'm still waiting. Has it been decided? Does this mean, you know, the pastor's talking about blessing for today, that net, oh boy, that's what I want, the net full of fish, so much that it's going to break. Does this mean that post on Facebook, God will bless you today if you share this, if you pass this on to 25 people? Does it mean God's going to back up the truck? You're going to hear beep, 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 and that blessing is going to be all over your life? Is that what it means in this passage? Everyone wants the blessing of God. Everyone wants a net full of fish. Everyone wants blessing so much that the net is breaking. Maybe, Maybe you already have it.
Amen.
Maybe you already have it.
Amen.
Look around you today. Blessing is in your life. You're here today. Do you have your spouse next to you? Do you have maybe the kids? Maybe you've got friends. They're sitting next to you this morning. It's God's blessing to you today. It's God's blessing to you today. The car that you drove into church with, that's God's blessing to you today. The food that you're going to eat for lunch, that's God's blessing to you today. The job that God gave you this week, it's God's blessing to you today. The strength that's in your body, I know that some don't feel well, but whatever strength you've got to walk and to get around, God's blessing to you today. The breath in your lungs, the springtime with all the beauty, the home that you live in, the safety God provides, the water you drink, the love that God gives you through other people, the medical care that has been given to you, and 100 other things. It is that net that's full of fish and is almost breaking. It is God's blessing to you today. I visited someone in the hospital the other day, and I walked into that room. It was a peaceful room, a place of rest. There were good doctors and nurses in care. Flowers from work sitting on the little table. Medicine nearby to help. Family came in to show their love and to show their concern and to encourage. And I have to say that even in difficult times, God's blessing is there. Amen. God's blessing is there. And if you will just stop for a moment, don't worry about Publishers Clearing House or any of those other things. Hold the hand of your spouse or look at those who are family members and look at the blessings around you and feel the cold water God's given you to drink and breathe that air in that God's given you to breathe, and you'll find your net is full. Your net is full to the point of breaking with the blessings of the Lord today. Amen. And if you're losing your way, if you feel like you're losing your way, two things. Remember, look at the end of the story. There's a resurrection coming. There's a real body in a real place, and you're going to see your loved ones. You'll call them by name. You really will. And if you're losing your way, look around you today. And the blessing of the Lord is here. It really is. There is victory in Jesus. And He loves me and He shares with me His blessings. He prepared a place for me. Would you turn in your hymn books to 473? Victory in Jesus. Let's just stand and sing that song. Victory in Jesus. Just the first stanza. And close your eyes for a moment. I just want to say this one thing. If you do not know what I'm talking about when we say, if you've trusted Jesus as Savior and you know that you're going to see your loved ones, you know that you're going to heaven, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. If you've never trusted Jesus, He died on the cross. He paid for your sins. He went to that tomb and walked out of it as the author of life. If you've never personally trusted Him, if there's someone here, you've never done that, you want to become a Christian today, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure, Pastor. I'm not sure of what you're talking about. Would you raise your hand? Is there anyone here this morning? Oh Lord, guide and direct us. Keep us. Love us. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name.